Imagine you're a Fortune 100 VP of engineering.
Okay.
Your to-do list is just spiraling completely out of control. It is Friday afternoon, you are exhausted,
Right.
but you carve out 2 hours just to test a new piece of artificial intelligence software.
Right, as you do.
Yeah, exactly. And by dinner, without having any background in graphic design, you have built an entire corporate design ecosystem from scratch.
It honestly sounds like a massive exaggeration, I know, but this is the exact scenario we are looking at today. Welcome to this custom deep dive.
We got a fascinating one today.
We really do. We are exploring an April 2026 dispatch from the bleeding edge of the tech industry, written by Vinny Carpenter. He's this veteran engineering leader with, gosh, over 30 years of experience building high-performing teams.
Right. And our mission today is to figure out how a brand new piece of technology, specifically this tool called Claude Design, is fundamentally breaking our traditional understanding of how work gets done.
Absolutely, because usually when a professional acquires a new skill or, picks up new software, there's an expectation of a learning curve.
Oh, a huge one. Think about picking up a violin.
Right.
You hold it awkwardly, you drag the bow across the strings, and you just make these terrible screeching noises for, I mean, months
Yeah.
before you can play even a simple scale.
Yeah.
We expect that friction.
We rely on that friction. It's the necessary progression from conscious incompetence to eventual muscle memory.
Yeah.
But what Vinny experienced in those 2 hours on a Friday afternoon suggests that, while in certain disciplines, that friction is vanishing entirely.
Which is wild, because in just 2 hours, Vinny built three massive deliverables. He produced a new landing page, an entirely new design paradigm for a task manager, and a fully custom design system.
In 2 hours.
2 hours. Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine you've never built a house in your life, but someone hands you a magic tool belt, and 2 hours later, you haven't just built a house.
You've drafted the architectural blueprints for the entire neighborhood.
Exactly. That is the level of leverage we are talking about here.
And that neighborhood blueprint comparison captures the scale perfectly. But, we really need to look past the dazzling speed of a new toy.
Right, it's not just a parlor trick.
No, not at all. The true value of Vinny's analysis is about the profound ripple effects this kind of output has on the macro ecosystem of software development and design. When a non-designer can generate a comprehensive design system in a single afternoon, the tectonic plates of the entire tech industry begin to shift.
So to understand that massive shift, we need to get into the weeds of those 2 hours. Like, what actually happened on Vinny's laptop that proved this wasn't just another flashy template generator?
Well, the critical distinction Vinny makes right away is about this concept of taste.
Taste. Okay.
Yeah. He explicitly states he is not a designer. He cannot produce fast, high-quality layouts himself, but he has taste.
Meaning he knows what looks good.
Exactly. He has the seasoned judgment to spot good work when he sees it. And historically, there has always been this massive, deeply frustrating gap between having the taste to know what looks good and having the technical chops to actually execute it.
Oh, totally. Like knowing a meal tastes amazing, but having no idea how to cook it.
Spot on. And this new tool, Claude Design, it completely collapsed that gap for him.
And he emphasizes that he wasn't just generating like inspiration. We aren't talking about mood boards or sketchy wireframes that a real designer then has to go and interpret, right?
No, he produced shippable work.
Shippable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The system he exported had design tokens, typography rules, spacing guidelines, all ready to be handed off to an AI coding agent the very next morning.
Okay, hold on. Before we go any further, for anyone listening who hasn't worked in user interface design, what makes a design token different from just, picking a color from a wheel?
That's a great question. So a design token is a core variable. Instead of telling a developer, hey, make this button hex code blue, a design token names that specific blue something like brand primary color.
Oh, I see.
So if the company decides to rebrand to purple next year, you just update the token once.
And everything changes.
Every single button, header, and background across the entire software ecosystem automatically changes to purple.
That is so efficient.
It is. It's the foundational plumbing of a brand's visual identity. So the fact that a non-designer generated a rigorous, mathematically sound token system through a chat interface is, well, it's staggering.
Which brings us to the real breakthrough moment for Vinny. About 90 minutes into his Friday sprint, he writes that the AI automatically lifted an accent color from an existing app icon he provided.
Yes, this is the crazy part.
And then it seamlessly threaded that specific color through every single new screen it generated. And it did this without him ever explicitly asking for it.
Just did it on its own.
Yeah. How does an AI even know to do that without being prompted?
Well, this gets to the underlying mechanism of how the model operates. It isn't just generating generic aesthetic layouts. It is actively reading existing code bases and design files to extract a highly specific visual language.
Like it's reading the math behind the design.
Exactly. It scans the mathematical relationships in the code. It looks at the padding between buttons, the exact ratio of a header font to body text, the hex codes of your existing assets.
Wow.
It reverse engineers the underlying logic of a brand, maps out its DNA, and then operates strictly within those boundaries.
So once it extracts that visual DNA, you, the user, just sort of steer the ship.
Right. You refine it through a chat interface or leave inline comments or even drag sliders that the AI generates on the fly based on what you're asking for.
And then you just export it to a PDF or Canva or straight into raw code.
Mm.
But let me push back on this a little bit because it sounds almost too magical. Is it actually designing in the way a human does? Or is it just aggressively copy-pasting a very sophisticated template and swapping out the logos? It feels a bit like hiring a sous chef who doesn't just follow your written recipe, but takes one sip of your broth and perfectly recreates your grandmother's secret menu from scratch.
That sous chef analogy gets right to the heart of it, honestly. It's about systems thinking versus templatization.
Okay.
A template is rigid. It forces your content into its predetermined boxes, which is exactly why template websites always look a little generic.
Right. They all look like Squarespace sites from 2015.
Exactly. But what this tool is doing is demonstrating contextual extraction. It understands the unwritten rules of a brand's visual identity, and then it invents entirely new layouts that perfectly adhere to those guardrails.
That is wild.
Yeah, that requires a level of semantic understanding that goes far, far beyond just copy-pasting code blocks.
What really blew my mind was reading about the real-world validation Vinny cites from other companies testing this. Like Datadog.
Oh, the Datadog example is incredible.
Right. Datadog apparently used this tool to take what would normally be a grueling, week-long cycle of writing briefs, generating mock-ups, going through endless review rounds.
All that back and forth.
Yeah. And they compress the entire process into a single conversation with the AI.
A single conversation.
And then there's the company, Brilliant. They reported that recreating their most complex web pages used to require 20 or more specific prompts in competing software. Claude Design did it in 2 prompts.
2 prompts instead of 20. And Vinny points out he believes those claims entirely because he just lived a miniature version of that hyper-compression himself over his lunch break.
Seriously. And look, if I'm a massive enterprise company whose entire business model relies on selling complex design software that takes months to master, hearing that a VP compressed a week of professional work into a 2-prompt chat over lunch must be absolutely terrifying.
Oh, it forces an immediate existential pivot, which leads directly to the threat looming over Figma.
Right, let's talk about Figma.
For context for you listening, Figma has been the undisputed king of the professional UX and UI market. We are talking about an estimated 80 to 90% market share.
That is not just a dominant product, that is a monopoly.
A massive one.
And it's built on deep industry roots. They have years of craft embedded in their platform, this massive ecosystem of third-party plugins, and just pure muscle memory from millions of designers who essentially live inside that software every single day.
Which is exactly why the market signals Vinny points out are so startling. The Friday this new Anthropic tool was announced, Figma's stock dropped roughly 7%.
7% in one day.
Yeah. And perhaps even more telling, Mike Krieger, who is the chief product officer at Anthropic, the company behind Claude Design, obviously he resigned from Figma's board of directors just 3 days before this tool launched.
Wow. Okay, resigning from the board 3 days before launch is the corporate equivalent of grabbing your coat and running out the back door before the building detonates.
It really is.
It signals that Anthropic is no longer just an AI model company making clever chatbots. They are aggressively transforming into a full-stack product suite.
Just look at the portfolio taking shape right now. They have an AI coding agent, co-working features, browser integrations, spreadsheet integrations, desktop apps.
Yes, boy, everybody.
They are planting a massive flag right in the middle of traditional enterprise software territory. The application layer that historically belonged to giants like Adobe, Atlassian, Microsoft, and Figma, it is suddenly contested ground.
But wait, how does this actually fragment Figma's market? Because if Figma is built for professional designers, isn't this new AI tool just something those exact same designers will use? I mean, they still need to design things.
It is for them, yes, but the addressable market just fundamentally changed.
How so?
Well, Claude Design sells to the existing professional designer, sure, but it also sells to everyone who desperately needed design work, but actively avoided Figma because the learning curve was just too steep.
Oh, I see.
It empowers the engineering VP, the product manager, the solo founder. Suddenly, the total number of people who can produce shippable design work has radically expanded.
That makes total sense. Even if you don't use design software, think about the complex, impenetrable legacy software in your specific industry.
Oh, every industry has one.
Right. The one everyone complains about but has to use because it's the industry standard. This just shows how quickly an 80% monopoly can be fractured by a tool that simply bypasses the traditional learning curve.
Exactly. The moat of muscle memory disappears when the user no longer needs muscles to operate the tool. They just need conversational English.
Okay, but Vinny does mention one major caveat to all of this magic, and it's a practical bottleneck we really have to address.
The token usage?
Yes. He notes that the software is incredibly token hungry. He cites reviewers at the NewStack who reported burning through more than half of their entire weekly compute allotment in a single sitting just to build one design system and a short video.
It's a lot of compute.
If you're burning half your weekly budget in an afternoon, you're going to hit a wall fast. It's like having a Ferrari, but you're only allowed to buy 1 gallon of gas a week. You can go incredibly fast, but you can't go very far before the engine stalls.
The compute cost is undeniably a high friction point today. There's no arguing that. The infrastructure required to run these multimodal, highly contextual generations is massive, but we have to look at the historical trajectory of AI inference costs.
Okay, for the non-engineers listening, what exactly do we mean by inference costs?
Right, so inference is the computational power required to run an AI model once it has already been trained.
Got it.
So when you ask the AI a question, the energy and processing power it takes to generate the answer is the inference. Historically, inference always starts at a massive premium when a new capability is unlocked.
Because it's bleeding edge.
Exactly. But as models become more optimized and the silicon hardware scales up, that cost inevitably trends downward. The token bottleneck will ease.
But the capabilities won't go away.
Right. What won't revert is the expansion of the market. The capability itself is out of the bottle. Vinny notes that if he were leading Figma right now, he wouldn't necessarily be panicking and shutting off the lights, but he would absolutely be rewriting his 5-year plan tonight.
Because the ground underneath that 5-year plan just completely liquefied.
It really did.
So the enterprise market is shifting, the tools are changing, and the speed of output is accelerating. But here is where Vinny's post takes a truly profound turn.
Yeah, this is the core of it.
He points out that if you look at all of this and conclude that we are witnessing the death of the professional designer, you are completely misreading the actual threat.
I think this is the most critical insight in his entire analysis. This technology does not kill senior designers. In fact, it makes them significantly more essential to an organization.
But why? If the machine can extract the visual DNA, build the design tokens, and output shippable code, why do we need the expensive senior designer at all?
Because the machine still needs a pilot who knows where to fly. Vinny emphasizes that taste, judgment, systems thinking, and deep user empathy, these hallmarks of a seasoned professional, they just cannot be automated.
Great.
Those abstract skills become infinitely more valuable because organizations now need experienced leaders who can wield these powerful new tools, guide the AI's output, and ensure the project doesn't lose the overarching strategic plot.
Going back to our earlier analogy, the AI is the ultimate sous chef, but you still desperately need the executive chef to conceptualize the menu and taste the final dish before it hits the dining room.
That's exactly it.
So if the senior experts are safe, who exactly is in the crosshairs here?
The bottom half of the marketplace. The commodity work.
Like what?
The one-off landing page gigs, the routine pitch deck polishing, the first pass, low-fidelity mock-ups.
The exact type of tedious grunt work that a freelancer or a junior designer relies on to pay their rent.
Yes. That foundational, repetitive work is no longer a multi-day contract for a junior employee. It is now an afternoon task for a manager with an AI subscription. But the true tragedy here isn't just the lost income for those juniors in the short term. It is the lost experience in the long term. This is the apprenticeship problem.
So what does this all mean? Let's think about how mastery is actually built. It is like expecting someone to write a masterpiece novel without ever being allowed to write a terrible first draft or a clumsy short story.
Right.
If the AI is doing all the basic reps, if the AI is churning out the 100 mediocre landing pages, how does anyone ever get good enough to become the senior designer with the taste and judgment we just established is so crucial.
That is the structural flaw in the new knowledge economy. Every single complex profession builds its senior experts out of its stumbling juniors.
You have to.
Yeah. Vinny spells this out beautifully. Designers learn taste by producing 100 bad pages to finally understand how to make one great one. Engineers learn robust system architecture by spending years debugging 1,000 basic CRED apps.
Let's clarify that term real quick for those outside of software engineering. What is a CRED app?
Oh, sure. It stands for Create, Read, Update, Delete. It is the basic foundational plumbing of almost all software. When a junior engineer builds a simple database to store user profiles, they are building a CRUD app. It isn't glamorous at all, but making mistakes on those basic apps is how you learn not to crash a massive enterprise system later in your career.
Right. Writers learn their unique voice by filing a decade of mediocre copy. You learn by doing the reps.
Exactly. It's the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours concept.
It is the screeching violin friction we talked about at the very beginning of this deep dive.
Yes. The threat isn't job replacement at the top of the pyramid. The threat is the total collapse of the developmental pipeline at the base of the pyramid.
Wow.
The craft itself survives because we will always need great design and secure code. But the on-ramp to learn that craft is being destroyed.
Because the economic incentive to train people is just evaporating. I mean, no company is going to pay a junior designer to spend a week making mistakes on a mock-up or pay a junior developer to stumble through a basic database build when a VP of engineering can use an AI tool to generate a mathematically perfect, brand-aligned asset over their lunch break.
It makes no financial sense.
Why pay for friction when you can buy frictionless speed?
And Vinny, you know, operating as a VP of engineering himself, he recognizes the gravity of this dynamic. He predicts that his own engineering organization will face this exact same crisis, the hollowing out of junior engineering roles due to AI coding agents within a year.
Within a year.
Probably sooner, honestly, given the pace of releases we're seeing.
It is a really sobering realization. We started this deep dive looking at a story of incredible, almost magical empowerment. You know, 2-hour Friday sprint where a non-designer built an entire corporate ecosystem.
Yeah.
But we've arrived at an industry-level existential crisis about the future of human expertise. It is the ultimate double-edged sword.
Vinny's immediate next steps reflect that duality perfectly, too. He isn't stopping his experiments, I mean, he can't afford to.
Wait, you have to keep going.
He plans to stress test the handoff between the design AI and the coding AI on real production-level work. And he's genuinely curious to see the cultural reaction of his own team when he reveals what he built over lunch.
I can only imagine that team meeting. Just, hey, everyone, look at the comprehensive design system I built while eating a sandwich.
Right. But fundamentally, he is just trying to figure out how to navigate the current reality. The shipping pace from AI labs is relentless, and it's moving faster than his weekends allow him to keep up.
Which brings us directly to you listening to this right now. We want to take this massive macro shift and apply it to your world. Take a moment and look closely at your own profession, whether you are in finance, law, healthcare, or marketing.
Yeah, think about the entry-level assignments that are deemed necessary for building foundational knowledge in your specific industry.
What are the tedious commodity tasks? What is the grunt work that the newcomers in your field are assigned right now to learn the ropes and build their professional judgment?
The routine data entry, the basic legal research summaries, the preliminary spreadsheet formatting.
Exactly. If an AI tool drops tomorrow that takes over all of that grunt work perfectly, instantly, and for a fraction of the cost, how will your industry train the experts of 2036?
It's a huge question.
Will the masters of tomorrow possess the deep structural understanding they need to lead if they never had to struggle through the basics? Because if someone hands you a magic tool belt that builds the house for you, you might get a beautiful house today, but you still won't know how to swing a hammer when the roof starts leaking. Leave us a comment or drop a note with your thoughts on how your field is going to handle the disappearance of the apprenticeship. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.